So, we all have heard of the Kings of Israel. I know that when I was in Sunday school, I had to try and memorize all of their names. Let me just tell you how many I can do. First, there was Saul, and then there was David, and then there was Solomon, and then it gets a little bit fuzzy. I know Hezekiah was a king, and he did some good things. I know Ahab was a king, and I know he was terrible. That's really all I know. So, Ahab, why do I know he's terrible? Well, 1 Kings 16, verse 33 says, Ahab did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. So, it's safe to say Ahab was a pretty bad king. And he was so bad that God sent a messenger, Elijah the Tishbite. And Elijah comes in, and the first thing he does is he says, Ahab, you're not a very good king. I'm going to make it, there will be no more rain for these years, except by my word. And Ahab, of course, does not like this. So Elijah goes and he hides by the brook Cherith, and ravens bring him bread and meat, and he drinks from this brook. But then the brook runs dry because there's no rain. So Elijah goes, and he lives with a widow in Zarephath, and she says, hey, I don't have food for you, Elijah, you can't stay with me. And Elijah says, well, did you ever think about how God is going to give you food? And she's like, oh, okay. And so Elijah lives with this widow, and then her son dies, and she says, Elijah, why did you do this evil to me, you man of God? And Elijah says, no, it's not my fault, and he raises her son from the dead. And then Elijah goes, and he talks to Obadiah, a servant of Ahab, and he says, Obadiah, go get Ahab, I need to talk to him. And Obadiah says, did you not see all the times that I've done good things for the Lord? You're going to tell me to go find Ahab, who's been searching for you for these years, and then he's going to come and not see you because I don't know where the Lord will lead you. And then Ahab will get mad and kill me. Why do you want to do this evil to me, Elijah? And Elijah says, no, the Lord isn't going to let you die. I will show myself to Ahab today. And Ahab finds Elijah, and he says, Elijah, why did you do this evil to Israel? Are you the troubler of Israel? And Elijah again says, no, I'm not the troubler of Israel. Do you remember how you're a terrible king? How you've worshipped Baal and built idols to him and built altars to him? And there's 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah, all who eat at your wife's table? Do you not remember this great evil that you're doing? And Ahab is like, okay, I guess I remember that. And Elijah says to him, get me all of those prophets that I just mentioned. Bring them to me, and we'll have a cook-off. And Ahab says, okay, I'm down for a nice meal. And the 400 prophets of Baal come together, the 450 of them, and Elijah is there with them, and all of Israel is there standing watching to see what will happen at this cook-off that Elijah has proposed. And Elijah says, okay, get us two bulls, two male cows, we'll see. You do an offering to your god, to Baal, and I'll do an offering to my god. And the prophets of Baal are like, okay, this seems good. And Elijah says, and you won't set it on fire, your God will. And if your God sets your offering on, if he burns it, if he consumes your offering, then maybe we will follow your God. But when my God sets the offering on fire, you will follow my God. And the prophets of Baal, they say, okay, well, there's way more of us, so we're totally going to win. We're definitely better cooks. So they set up. They build this altar. They place stone upon stone. They fill it with sticks. They they put the bowl on top, and they're dancing around the bowl. They're singing, they're chanting, "Oh Baal, answer us." But there's no voice. No one answers. From morning until noon, they're chanting. Still, no voice comes to answer them. And Elijah, being the way he is, he says, he mocks them, saying, "Cry aloud, for he's a god. Either he's musing, or he's relieving himself, or he's on a journey. Maybe he's asleep, and you just need to wake him up." And this isn't any mocking. You know, in the Book of Lamentations, which is, of course, a very sad book of the Bible, Lamentations 2, verse 15 says, "All who pass along the way clap their hands at you. They hiss and wag their heads at the daughter of Jerusalem. Is this the city that was called the perfection of beauty, the joy of all the earth?" This isn't any mocking. This is the mocking that you do to your sister to make her cry. You want to make your sister cry. You hiss and wag your head. "Is this the city that's called the perfection of beauty, the joy of all the earth?" This is what Elijah's doing. Oh, maybe your God's asleep. Maybe he's musing. Maybe he's relieving himself. And the prophets of Baal, they cry aloud. They do not like this. They cry aloud, and they're cutting themselves, their arms open, and blood is gushing out. And as the day passes, Elijah still doesn't set up his altar. He says, "I'll give you another chance. You have until the end of the day." And as midday passes, they're still raving on. They're crying out, "Please, Baal, oh, answer us." And no one answers. There is no voice. No one pays attention. And Elijah says, "Okay, can I try this time?" And they're like, "I guess our God didn't answer, so probably yours won't either." And Elijah says, "Okay, as one man, it would take me a long time to build an altar and kill this bull and do all this work. So I will just ask that you help me, and I'll do all the hard stuff, all the crying aloud to our God, or to my God." And so they come together. They help him build this altar. It's much the same as the altar that the prophets of Baal built. His is only different in that it has the name of the Lord written on it in stone. So they place these stones in the name of the Lord. Yahweh is written there. They have the bull killed there, laying there on the altar. Elijah, they pour water on top of the bull three times. And Elijah steps back. He says, "Get back. My God is about to consume this bull." He prays, "Dear Lord, consume this. Accept my offering." And God answers. The bull catches on fire. A great pillar of fire consumes it. The prophets of Baal, of course, are scared. They have failed. And people that worship false prophets, people that teach others to worship false idols, they usually are killed. And this is not a different story. Elijah says, "Do not let these people escape. They have done a great evil. Seize them. Let not one of them escape." And the people of Israel come and help Elijah because they don't want to stand in the way of a man of God. They seize the prophets of Baal. Elijah brings them down to the brook Kishon, and he slaughters them. 450 of them slaughtered. And Elijah says to Ahab, "Go up and eat and drink. Rain will come. Now that you have seen God's power, rain will come." And Ahab says, "I want rain." So he goes up and he eats and drinks to listen to the word of Elijah. And Elijah goes up to the top of Mount Carmel and he starts praying. He's sitting there on the ground and his head, his face is between his knees. And he's sitting there praying and he's saying, "God, please let this rain come." And he sends a servant.
And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank, and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. There he came to a cave and lodged in it, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak. He went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." That is the word of the Lord. So, we come to Jezreel. Ahab is reclining in his cozy chair, and he's sitting there. He has a servant feeding him grapes, and he tells his wife, he's sitting there with his wife, and his wife asks, "So, how's it going? What'd you do today? How was work?" And Ahab says, "Do you remember when we were told that there would be a drought? The man who did that, Elijah the Tishbite, he came and he called all your prophets, the prophets of Baal who ate at your table. He called them and he killed them all. They're all dead. He killed them all. He slaughtered them all with a sword." And Jezebel says, "Oh, that's fine." But really, she's really angry. And so in her anger, she sends a letter to Elijah saying, "I'm going to kill you. You will die. Or if you don't, then I should. Because you deserve this vengeance." And Elijah, of course, is afraid. The queen of Israel wants his head. So he goes and he hides. And he sees this great evil around him. And maybe even at some level, he's doubting himself. He just killed 450 people. Maybe he's doubting how good he himself is. And he goes out and he's by himself, a day's journey out into the wilderness. He's sitting under a tree and he's crying out, "Dear Lord, please just let me die. I don't want to be in this world anymore. There is a great evil around me. Please just let this evil pass from me." And there are many other people in the Bible that have felt the same way. Esther, she gets called to be queen and she doesn't want it. She gets called to talk to the king and she doesn't want it. Jesus cries out to God the night before he is crucified, "Dear Lord, please just let this cup pass. Let me escape this great evil." And God, "Please just let me out of this evil in this world. There's evil in our world right now. There are shootings that happen very frequently. Shootings in Dayton and El Paso. Epstein has hung himself And he was an evil person. He did sex trafficking. That's evil. Why is there evil in this world? And Elijah, he sees it and he says, please, just let me out of this evil. Let me die. And he lays down and he's crying under this tree. He's laying there. Please, God, just let me die. I didn't bring any food. I'm ready. This is my time. My time has come. Please. And an angel comes and says to him, arise and eat. And Elijah listens to the word of God, because that is what you need to do in the time of evil. You need to listen to the word of God. Elijah listens and he hears the angel say, arise and eat. And he says, no, please, I don't want to, but you are an angel of the Lord. I will listen. And he gets up, he sees this food and he eats it. And he starts walking because the angel tells him the second day, arise and eat. There's a great journey for you. It's too great for you. You must eat and listen to the word of God. And so Elijah does. And he gets up and he, every day for 40 days and 40 nights to this Mount Horeb, which is a couple hundred miles from Beersheba. It's a long journey. And it's not easy, nice, flat land. It's mountains. It's treacherous. There's animals that can kill you. It's not an easy path. It's not like a quick 40-day and 40-night travel. It's a long and treacherous journey. But Elijah, in the midst of this evil that he sees, he listens to the word of God. And there, he comes to the mountain, and he's still wanting to listen. And God says to him, What are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah says, I'm very jealous for you, God. Your people have all deserted you. I'm the only one left, and they want to kill me. Please just take my life away now so that I can escape this great evil. And God says, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And the Lord passes by, and there's a great strong wind, and it tears down the mountain. It breaks rocks. I've never been in a wind that's strong enough to break rocks. I've been in winds that have made me feel like I was going to fly away, winds that made me feel like I was going to fall over. And here Elijah is standing on the edge of a cliff, and this great wind is tearing apart the mountain before him. And surely that must be a sign from the Lord to mean something. Here's your message, Elijah, this wind. But it tells us the Lord is not in the wind. And after the wind, a great earthquake. Earthquakes destroy terrible things. They're an amazing feat of strength of nature. Surely this must be the message from God. But again, we are told the Lord is not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. Surely, before, when Moses was on Mount Horeb to get the Ten Commandments, the Lord was in fire. He was in a fire, speaking to people, speaking to Moses. And surely this must be the message from the Lord. And again, the Lord isn't in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And it does not tell us that the Lord is not in this low whisper. That is to say that the word of the Lord does not always come through big things. These great winds, these great fires, these great earthquakes. The Lord is not always in those. And Elijah wants something big. He says, please just erase all the evil or do something big. Show me your power. And the Lord says, no, I'm not going to speak to you through those manners right now. And so Elijah, he goes back into his cave, and he's there. He's finally ready. He understands that the Lord won't be in some sort of a big, great thing. And the Lord says, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah says the same thing, but I feel like it has a different tone. I've been jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. I feel like it's a message saying, hey, I know that what I said before wasn't wrong, but I wanted the wrong thing from it. Before, I wanted you to take me away from this evil, but now I understand you have a work for me to do still. And the Lord goes on to give Elijah instructions. He says, go back on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, anoint Hazael king, anoint Jehu king, anoint Elisha as a prophet in your place. These are all very normal things. These are not, it's not a great spiritual thing. It's not go and heal 10,000 people. It's not go and feed a whole town that has no food. It's go and tell this person to be king. Elijah listens to the word of the Lord in the midst of his great evil, and he's called to do a work for the Lord. Much the same as Esther is. She's called to do a work for the Lord. She's called to just go talk to a king. Much as Jesus is called to do a work for the Lord in the midst of this great evil that he faced, he's called to die on the cross. Much as Paul, in the midst of the great evil around him, in the midst of the great evil that he participated in, he was killing Christians. And he comes back. He comes in the midst of that great evil, he listens to the word of the Lord. He is called Paul, and he starts to do the work of the Lord. In the time that he is a Christian, there is great evil around him. He's put into jail for being a Christian, for the things that he's doing. In the midst of his imprisonment, he writes the prison epistles. He's still doing the work of the Lord. So I would call you to do the work of the Lord in the midst of the great evil around us. That you see people dying, people in pain, people suffering. You see that great evil. That you have a great work. A work to do for the Lord. That you need to listen to the word of the Lord, and that he will call you to do works for him. It doesn't have to be a ministry thing. You don't have to be preaching. Right now, my call is to be your preacher for this morning, but that doesn't mean that all of you guys have to preach. Right today, Ben's calling was to lead worship for you. And that's a very tangible thing. A very tangible call from the Lord. But in the midst of your daily jobs, of your daily lives, the people that you meet, the people that you see, you can do the work of the Lord in any scenario. So I would call you to do that. In the midst of the evil in the world, you can listen to the word of the Lord and be called to do his work. Amen? Thank you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.